tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. We are on episode number 49. Before we begin talking about natural antibiotics that exist in your pantry and in your refrigerator, I have a couple things to mention really fast. Subscribe to our newsletter and you'll receive all of my articles, my blogs, and my podcast directly to your inbox. Also, if any of you, of course, are in the need to lose weight, hire me as your health consultant. And please visit our other podcasts. So let's talk about natural antibiotics. Before we begin, let's review what's wrong with conventional antibiotics. I would recommend that you go back and listen to the Naturopathic Earth episode on Do Antibiotics Make Us Fat? But the main reason the antibiotics are problematic is that we overprescribe them. Therefore, we're getting the resistant strains where antibiotics are no longer working when we really need them to work, which is life or death threatening situations. But the big reason that they're problematic is that they're an atomic bomb to our probiotic bacteria. I would strongly recommend you go back and listen to episodes 2 and 3. Which will cover probiotics and prebiotics to understand that, because I don't want to spend too much time on it right now, but we have 90% of the cells in us and on us are not human. They're in fact bacterial or fungal. And there's this nice precarious balance that exists. And much of the bacteria on us and in us and in our gut and wherever else in our orifices actually help us. So when we take full course, broad spectrum antibiotics, they can destroy our probiotic bacteria, which makes us more prone to actually getting more infections later on, among other problems. So we overprescribe antibiotics, especially with children, for ear infections and throat infections and sinus infections and dental work. And we just give antibiotics for everything. This is problematic. I strongly recommend that you do not take antibiotics unless it's life or death situations. Look at C. diff. C. diff is a major problem now in hospitals because we've been overprescribing antibiotics. And C. diff is a bacteria that inhabits your large intestines and can possibly kill you. And so how do they treat it? They give you more antibiotics, which just exacerbates the problem. But for you guys, day in, day out, preventative care, antibiotics, guys, don't take them. It destroys your microbiome, and then it takes years to rebuild that colony. So you're like, well, Gregory, what happens when I get sick and I do have a bacterial infection? Well, first of all, maybe what you have is a viral infection and you don't even know and you think it's bacterial. And that's the other issue. And that's one of the reasons that we're having this resistant strain problem is because so many doctors are prescribing antibiotics and they're not ignorant. Sometimes it's just they want to please their patients. So the patients come back, the customers come back. And so we're prescribing antibiotics for viral infections. But even so, let's say you do have a bacterial infection. There are tons of natural remedies that exist. Again, we have had herbal remedies, apothecaries, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine for millennia before the advent of Big Pharma. So we've known sources, we've had sources that naturally fight antibiotics that are antimicrobial or antifungal. So let's cover some of them. Number one, honey. Honey has shown to have numerous antimicrobial benefits. In particular, you can't get the over-the-counter kind of crappy honey like over here. I remember posted a picture on Instagram about the honey I get here over in San Antonio from HEB, which is the large monopoly conglomerate supermarket. And it says, honey comes from Canada, Chile, Mexico, and the United States. It's like they get it from 4 different places and put it in one bottle. But honey is one of the oldest known antibiotics. This goes back to ancient Egypt. They've been using it. Honey contains hydrogen peroxide, which accounts for some of the reasons it's antibacterial. And it has a high sugar content, which can help stop the growth of certain bacteria. But the other big reason, it has a low pH level, and this helps pull moisture away from the bacteria and causing the bacteria to get dehydrated or die off. So honey can be used directly on a wound or an infected area. It also can be, of course, ingested. If you do have like a throat infection, you can simply swallow a whole tablespoon or stir it into a warm cup of some nice herbal tea. And it'll work great. Now, I recommend that you get Manuka honey, because Manuka honey is arguably the best type of honey to buy. And it's going to be a little more expensive. But it's great. And I recommend that you get it. I mean, it even shows that there's studies that show that it can even get rid of MRSA, which are the large staph infections that we used to only have at the hospitals. But now at schools, they get them, gyms, they get them. It's, you largely connect them, or they're you think about the large boils or abscesses that people get on their skin that they have to get lanced, and then the pus comes out. I mean, you can go to YouTube, and my students love these videos where it's just like oozing stuff and it pops. But that's MRSA. That's the staph infection. So honey. Put it on the wound, put it in your diet. Going back to non-sugar sweeteners, honey does have a lot of phytonutrients. But of course, if you're going to eat a lot of honey, just be very careful. Don't eat a lot. But honey is a known natural antibiotic. So give it a shot. Number two, garlic. Garlic's actually one of my favorites. Garlic, I have been using garlic pills for quite some time to help with any infections that I get. And honestly, I don't get fevers often, guys. Maybe like twice or three times a year, I get these sinus infections. That's the thing that really gets me. I get these sinus infections. I don't get the typical infections, but a couple times a year, my head feels like it weighs 50 pounds. So garlic has been known since time immemorial to fight against bacteria. It is incredible. You can purchase garlic concentrate or extract from a local health food store. You could also make it your own, make it at home by just soaking a few garlic cloves in olive oil. It's very safe to ingest, but just know that if you eat a large amount of garlic, it can just lead to internal bleeding. No big deal. But typically people think that up to 2 cloves per day is considered an acceptable dose. So let me tell you a little more about garlic here. So garlic, there was a study that was done about 5 years ago that showed that the active substances in garlic, like diethyl sulfide, is up to 100 times more effective than broad-spectrum antibiotics. And it just doesn't fight antibiotics, guys. It can fight funguses, and it's antiviral and even antiparasitical. It's incredible. And there's some studies that show that eating garlic on a daily basis or taking garlic pills can reduce the number of colds a person gets by 63% and reduce the duration of cold symptoms by up to 70%. So in addition to being an antimicrobial agent, it helps lower blood pressure and cholesterol and can boost your athletic performance. Back in March, I wrote an article on the health benefits of garlic, so you might want to check that out on Naturopathic Earth. So how do you use it? Well, there's a couple of ways you can use it. If you want to put it into your food, that's fine, but typically it's recommended that you need to eat it raw and not prepare it, because by cooking it, it can destroy some of the ingredients that are responsible for its antibiotic effects. So, I mean, if you want to chop it up and put it in your, spaghetti sauce, that's fine, but ideally it should be raw, which of course doesn't taste as good. For skin infections, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can combine 1 tablespoon of cold-pressed olive oil with a clove of crushed garlic, and then place the garlic in the oil and let it sit for about 30 minutes and then strain it. And then set in a cup that's sitting in warm water if you want it to be warmed. And then just place a few drops of the oil on the infected area. So that's one thing you can do. For ear infections, I know Kate has used garlic for that before. I think she mentioned it in a previous podcast. You can do the recipe that I just mentioned and just put a few drops in the affected ear hourly, and this will help loosen some of the wax buildup as well as fight as whatever microbes that are in there. And in general, if you just want to improve your immune system, you can just crush 1 clove of raw garlic. And crushing is better than chewing, so your breath won't be as bad, because we know that's one of the tried and true ways to stink up your breath. So garlic is great. I would recommend organic, of course, because, you know, when it's inorganic, it's either going to be sprayed with glyphosate or it can come from places like China that they don't really have good regulations and there can be other toxins on it. So definitely give garlic a try. There's many ways you can do it. If you just want to do the pills are great too. So any way you're getting garlic in you and on you is better than not using garlic at all. So give it a shot. Number three, cinnamon, or as my four-year-old daughter calls it, cinnamon. I love cinnamon. If you look at any of the food recipes on the website, I somehow find a way to incorporate cinnamon in everything. And it's not because it's just a great sweetener. It's because it's known to have a lot of phytonutrients and phytochemicals that are great for us. And I do have an article on the health benefits of cinnamon, so check it out on the website too. But there's a reason why I always recommend it. So cinnamon's been around forever. There are different types. There's like cassia cinnamon, for example. And I would recommend that you get the higher end cinnamons. But they're both types. And off the top of my head, I can't remember the other type. There's cassia and Ceylon. I think Ceylon's the other one. And they're both great in different ways. But I think, if I remember correctly, cassia is the better one. But either way, the cinnamon that's in your cabinet, even though it's probably been irradiated because a lot of spices are irradiated before we buy them. So how do you use the cinnamon? Is it just great on sprinkling it on yogurt bowls and put them in smoothies and put them on anything sweet like I typically do? Well, there's a couple of recommendations. Surely just putting in your food would not hurt, but you can also put it on actual infections. So if you want to put it on a skin infection, for example, you can get a couple of drops of, I think Ceylon is a better cinnamon oil for the skin. And you can combine it with Manuka honey if you have Manuka honey at home. If not, don't worry about it. But let's just say you do have Manuka honey or even regular honey, but mix them in together. And that's a great like double whammy of natural antibiotics that you can put on the wound. If it's something internal, like you have a cold or a flu, you can get some cinnamon powder, some Ceylon with Manuka honey or raw organic honey. And just use that combo a couple times a day. And that would help. So again, I think both cassia and Ceylon cinnamon are good, but I think Ceylon is better for what you want, which is going to be the antimicrobial aspect of it. And sometimes the cassia one can, and this is for people who are very sensitive on cinnamon, can lead to some liver damage because coumarin's in it. And coumarin, if some people have high levels of coumarin, which is the active ingredient in cinnamon, can have some problems. But don't let that dissuade you from using cinnamon. Just get it into the diet anytime that you're sick. Issue number four, like they used to say in the McLaughlin group, issue number four. Number four, so let's go to fermented foods. Well, this is going to make complete sense, right? So you're having a bacterial problem somewhere in your body. So it makes complete sense to increase your amount of probiotic food, right? We've talked about how there's a fight in your body every day between pathogenic bacteria on one side and, you know, pathogenic fungus, for example. And on the other side would be our immune system and then the probiotic or good bacteria. So increasing the amount of both prebiotic and probiotic food would help because it would strengthen your immune system and get more good guys on the side that you want it to be. So we've talked about prebiotics and probiotics ad nauseum. So I recommend you just go back to those previous podcasts. Day in, day out, unless you guys like a lot of Asian food, probably Greek yogurt and kefir and kombucha would probably be the most accessible of the fermented foods. I know some people, like a lot of my Facebook friends, they make tons of fermented foods at home. So if you're making sauerkraut, you can do that. Kimchi, miso, tempeh, natto. I mean, all these things are great. So anytime you're sick, definitely increase the amount of the fermented food you have. You might want to go and buy some probiotic pills if you'd like to do that as well. But just get it up there and also increase your prebiotic food. So eat a lot of unripened bananas, eat a lot of onions, for example. Those are probably the most common, but you can eat artichokes, for example. That's a decent one. Dark chocolate is prebiotic too. So just increase both amounts and get the balance back to where it should be. All right, number five would be ginger, or ginger, as they would say in England. Get some ginger. Now, I know ginger is an acquired taste. Some people love ginger and some people despise it. Ginger, I think, is more known by most people as being something that's good for indigestion, right? Ginger ale, for example, gingerbread. But ginger does have a lot of antimicrobial agents in it. It also is known to help with nausea and inflammation and stomach acid issues. So, but ginger is a great antibiotic. There's a couple of ways that you can implement it into your daily routine whenever you still feel like you're getting sick. Some people like to get some raw honey and then mix it with ginger and cinnamon at the same time. You can do that. Ginger is typically only going to be for internal use. It's not really recommended to put it on the skin. But if you want to do a triple whammy, I would recommend do the honey with the ginger and the cinnamon and mix it all in, or find some sort of recipe that would put all of them in there. And I mean, I can think of one right now. You know, my smoothies have at least two of these every time I do them. They'll have like a tad bit of honey, and I put loads of cinnamon in there along with the kale and the Greek yogurt and the blueberries. And on occasion, I do put some ginger. And ginger, you know, you got to be careful on your smoothies because it will just overpower your smoothies if you're not careful on that. So I would definitely buy fresh ginger if you can. And if you feel like it's going to get bad, you can freeze ginger and then just use a metal grater and then shred off some of it to put in your salads or to put in your smoothies or to put in whatever that you like to put it in. So definitely try the ginger. All right, number six. So let's go over to aromatherapy and do some essential oils because there's a couple of them that are just classic antimicrobials. Classic. So let's go to some thyme. And I know Katie gives me a hard time because I always mispronounce thyme. Some thyme essential oil. I'll just call it thyme just to give her a hard time. So when she listens to this, she'll just be like fingernails on a chalkboard. So thyme oil is a great antimicrobial. There were studies done over at the University of Tennessee's Department of Food Science and Technology to evaluate how effective it was against bacteria in milk and against salmonella. And they found that they put droplets of thyme essential oil in milk. It tended to clear it up. So it's known to be very effective in that. And this is something more for Kate's area. This is Kate's strength. So, but I do want to definitely mention up the thyme oil. So that would be number six. Number seven would be oregano oil or any type of oregano. Because you got to go to Italy, you got to get some oregano, you got to get some gelato, you got to get some cappuccino. Oh, sorry, it's been like since I think clean eating episode, dining out, that I've been able to do my horrible Italian accent. Like I'm Luigi from Super Mario Brothers. Go to the Patano. Sorry. All right, so oregano oil. Again, you can increase the actual amount of oregano herb if you want in your food. But since we're on the aromatherapy kick here, oregano oil has been shown to be very effective in treating wounds. All right. Number eight is going to be tea tree oil. Tea tree oil. Now, I made the mistake one time before I knew much about essential oils by applying tea tree oil directly onto a wound that I had. Big mistake. And I think Kate's going to do a podcast whenever she gets around to going back to a Kate's Apothecary to do one on like the do's and don'ts and some mistakes that people make with essential oils. And one of them is putting tea tree oil directly on the skin. But for any of you guys that keep up with this aromatherapy, you know that tea tree oil is a great antimicrobial. There's tons of studies that show it's very effective, in particular against E. coli, which you see in a lot of fecal matter down our large intestines in particular, and then with staph infections. We've already talked about staph. So tea tree oil is very good. A lot of studies show that there's an immediate effect followed by a slow release effect over a 24-hour period, which kind of helps with that. So you can use it for an extended amount of time so you don't have to keep reapplying it over and over and over and over. Okay, so how do we use these essential oils, the three that I've mentioned, the tea tree, the thyme, and the oregano? And I should mention that you can also use cinnamon extract as well as an essential oil to treat some wounds. But I just didn't mention it over when we were covering the cinnamon. But yeah, there is cinnamon oil if some of you have cinnamon oil at home. So probably you got to use a carrier oil, right? So because I just mentioned that putting it directly on a wound is problematic and it gets very painful and itchy. So there's a couple different ways you can do it. One way is that you can get a teaspoon of Manuka honey and or get some sort of coconut oil or any type of a carrier oil, like a, I don't know, almond oil, for example. And you can combine one drop of an oregano oil, then maybe a drop of cinnamon and a drop of thyme, and mix it either with the coconut oil or the manuka. And you can apply it onto the wound. You could do it like that. I am not the biggest proponent of ingesting essential oils. I think it's problematic. And as much as I love the way that doTERRA and Young Living, because they use pretty good quality ingredients, I love how that is spreading the information, disseminating the benefits of aromatherapy. I worry that it's being spread very kind of loosely and cavalierly, that we should be putting essential oils in salads and drinking it. And I think that's a little problematic, guys, because essential oils are very potent and they're very, very strong. And we kind of have this mindset, well, if one drop's good for us in a diffuser, 10 drops is even better. And we'll cover this on a separate podcast, but I'm not going to recommend that you ingest these. I'd recommend that you just mix them in a carrier oil, and then you're going to apply it directly onto the wound. Okay, so let's do numbers 8 through 15. So these are going to be honorable mentions. So starting with the essential oils, you can use eucalyptus. Eucalyptus has been known to be pretty good as well. Patchouli, geranium, lavender, grapefruit seed extract. All these have been pretty effective in combating antimicrobials. I don't think that the studies are as strong with these oils as the three aforementioned, but I'm aware that some of you don't have all of these available at your house and they are expensive. So just know that these other oils can be effective as well. And the great thing about essential oils and aromatherapy is now even hospitals are using them. I mean, you'll find some hospitals that are actually applying tea tree oil and eucalyptus oil on actual wounds. So it's great to see that it's being used in places like that. Because again, I mean, we have so many resistant strains of bacteria that are just destroying people at hospitals, either with MRSA or with C. diff or other issues. So the fact that they're actually using aromatherapy at hospitals is great, because that's what we want. We want complementary medicine, right? We want to get, like Dr. Cohen mentioned, like we want to get a merger of the alternative therapies with the conventional therapies. So that's good. So a lot of these essential oils have been shown to be effective against candida and E. coli and fighting staph infection. So other honorable mentions that I would recommend that you could use, and there's loads, guys. I'm just mentioning like the main ones you can use, but there's other ones. Apple cider vinegar is a great antimicrobial agent. There's different ways that you can get it into your body. You can apply it topically. You can, of course, drink it. I drink it daily as a shot. But that's another option. You can just mix in water or orange juice or whatever. I wouldn't do orange juice because I'm not a big proponent of the juices, the commercial juices. So I would like to do it au naturel. So that's another option that you have. Turmeric. I put turmeric, which its active ingredient is curcumin. I think turmeric is probably more famous for being anti-inflammatory and fighting against oxidation in the body, so being an antioxidant and fighting against cancer. But turmeric is an antimicrobial agent, and there's different ways you can apply that as well. I typically just put it on my food. I sprinkle the actual powder on the food. I don't buy actual turmeric root. I'm kind of lazy on that, but I do put it on my eggs. I like it on my eggs, and so does my four-year-old daughter. It's funny because my six-year-old son is just like not into any of that stuff, and my four-year-old daughter is like, I want kombucha. I want this. I want that. I'm like, you're my girl. Echinacea. If you want to do echinacea, that's great too. Colloidal silver is great as well. I'm not going to talk about too much about colloidal silver, and I think that's actually a great thing to bring up later on with one of the interviewers. I'm going to do one of the naturopathic doctors that I'll bring up later, because that's more of their area. But there's other things you can use as well. Beets, cilantro, watercress, dandelions. But to be fair, I would probably stick to the ones. Astragalus is another one. I'd probably stick to the ones that I've mentioned to you before, the biggies. So to review, what are the best natural antibiotics, or I guess the most easily accessible? So we're looking to look at honey. We're going to look at garlic. We're going to look at ginger. We're going to look at increasing your fermented foods. And then we're going to look at the essential oils of thyme and oregano and tea tree. But just kind of look through your pantry and see if there's other things that you have. You know, onions, for example, are fantastic antibiotics. They come from the same family as garlic, if I'm not mistaken. If I remember my botany here, I think they come from the same family. So try all those, guys. And look, I'm not saying, and it's like I'm more of the high school because I get in trouble so much with the admin over at the school because the kids misinterpret stuff. I'm not saying that Mr. Luna says that if I eat garlic, I'm never going to get sick again. And, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we want to stay away from antibiotics because they are problematic for a host of reasons. And why go to big pharma? Why go to pharmaceutical stuff if we don't have to go? We should always try to exhaust natural remedies first because, A, they don't tend to have side effects. Some do, of course, but most of them don't have side effects. And if those don't work and you're getting sicker, then maybe go down the road of using antibiotics. But while you're sick, I mean, there's other things you can do. You can definitely get more sunlight. That's why we used to have sanitariums. People used to sit in the sunlight to increase your vitamin D. You can also orally increase your vitamin D by taking vitamin D pills. I would take probably 10,000, 15,000 IU pills of vitamin D. Of course, you can also increase your vitamin C, which also helps with your immune system. You can increase your glutathione, which is kind of like the master immune system ingredient in your body, kind of helps with all the antioxidants. You can do that. You can take that in pill form, but also you can sleep more, eat cleaner. All these help when you have an infection. All right, so that's all I have for today. Again, this isn't the most exhaustive list, but I just wanted to mention to you some ways that you can just naturally fix the infections that you have. All right, until next time, take care. If you can, post a review for our podcast. We'd appreciate it. And give us some feedback. Contact us through the website. Contact us through the website and let us know what you want us to talk about in the future. Please pray for the people over in Florida and in the Caribbean that were affected by Hurricane Irma because it looks like a gigantic hurricane. And just say a prayer for them. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.